Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 26th in the year of our Lord, 2017, hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution, but stands for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're convinced the checks and balances put in place via the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America, is the way forward. Peaceful restoration, folks, by a good, honest, moral people, is the great solution. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing fantastic. Jim Clymer, well-known attorney at law, ConstitutionParty.com, with us. Welcome to the broadcast once again, my friend.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. There's so much to talk about, so little time to talk about it. I want to give you a chance to speak out on several different things. Obamacare, for the last gasp try from the Republicans, looks like is going to fail. Three Republicans killed it. Rand Paul's one of them. Rand Paul declares that he won't be bullied by Donald Trump, who threatens political isolation for Rand Paul if he votes against it. Rand Paul outlines what it would take to get his support. The senator sees block grants as nothing more than a continuation of Obamacare, not a repeal. They say it'll spend $1 trillion, and the reality is if we're going to really repeal it, it wouldn't cost a penny. Why spend $1 trillion for something that we promised would cost nothing? Graham Cassidy really keeps the health care alive and redistributes it to the states. One of the things that I mentioned is this reality check. All it's going to do is make the Republicans own it, and they're going to force it on the states. Then the states aren't going to have the funding, and it's going to be a disaster in the making. Again, the federal government has no authority to even mandate such a thing. Rand Paul's right on this. The Democrats and Rand stopped something the Republicans shouldn't be doing in the first place, Jim Clymer.
Well, you're so right. I agree. It's tough. I mean, on the one hand, there's something in me that wishes something would get done to pare it back, but you can't argue with Rand Paul in the principle. He is right. I am so angry with the Republican Congress who voted, 50 times or something like that, or at least the House did, voted 50 times during the Obama administration to do a clean repeal of the Obamacare. And now that they have both houses of Congress and the White House,
Governorships in most states and the state legislatures in most states and more appointees to the Supreme Court. And now they control the National Labor Relations Board as well. What don't they control, sir?
And they won't do anything. I mean, it just shows the hypocrisy, shows the grandstanding that they were doing before. And now frankly, Rand Paul is right. Why they voted for it all that time before. People ran on it. Why can't they get it passed as just a clean repeal and get the federal government out of the business of health care?
Now, Steve King is the one that put a clean, simple, single-page repeal on the table, and no one's even paying attention to it, sir.
Yeah, right. They don't want to even see it now anymore.
Now, the bottom line, though, is they are going to fail. They're not going to get this passed. Thanks to the Democrats, there's some Republicans who we disagree with on just about everything, but they're blocking it for their own personal socialist reasons. Well, nevertheless, we're grateful for their stoppage of this fiasco, though. I don't want the states to own this, and I don't want the Republican Party to own it.
Yeah, I mean, somebody said, maybe it was Rand Paul who said it, too, what's going to end up doing is we'll have potential for 50 mini Obamacares in each state. And that doesn't solve the problem at all.
So, but it also means that the federal government could deny and or limit funding in some way, and then the states are left holding the financial bag for this whole thing, too. And then the states are the enemy of the people if they back out of the socialism funded by government. I mean, it doesn't end. This is a fiasco in the making. Because the government has no authority to do this at all. Whenever the government does something it ought not do, this is the result. There's no good answers except for to shut it down and get out of it.
Exactly. Exactly. But then you have the Charlie Dent in the House, and you have John McCain and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski in the Senate who I think would never agree to that. They have no intention of agreeing to it. And I'm sure there are more if it comes to straight repeal.
Yeah. Now, they even lowered the bar from 60 down to 50. I don't think the bar should have ever been this, quote, supermajority in the first place. That's a manipulation of the intention of the founding fathers and the Constitution. Nevertheless, they couldn't even get it done with their, quote, simple majority.
No, that's right.
But you know what they're going to say needs to be done, don't
but
you?
But isn't that going away as of, what, the 30th of September?
Yes,
and so that's the rush for it or something?
Supposedly, yes.
I mean, it's just like they make up little things as they go.
Of course
it
they
seems
do.
Like.
Well, wasn't it partly, this had to do with a budget reconciliation procedure or something where they only needed to go with 60 votes. They could still repeal that supermajority rule, that 60-vote rule. I said it wrong. They lowered it to 50 votes, or 50 plus one, a simple majority, because it's part of the reconciliation process.
I got an idea to reconcile, you know, for the reconciliation of the budget and all that kind of stuff, too, and the finance. All I got to do is simply say, if it's constitutional, we're going to fund it. If it's not, we're not going to fund it next.
Yeah, that would solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it?
We're not going to debate what's, quote, what do they call it? Essential or some of these other buzzwords that just means they can manipulate till the cows come home. I just simply say if you can line item. Okay, when you do a mortgage, as you probably know, Jim, for a mortgage, for every line item in the mortgage that a claim you make, you have to back it up with documentation.
Right.
And so every line item in their spending bills need to be backed up with a constitutional authority to do so. And if you can't, it's gone.
Well, you know, they used to do that. Originally, they did that. That was a requirement with every bill that they passed. But they've long gotten away from that.
That was before the Republic ran off the rails and became a democracy, huh?
That's right. That's right.
Not that we're a democracy, but that's the way they're treating it. Even the Donald stood up in front of the United Nations and started talking about the glories of a democracy, sir. Are you surprised?
Well, no, I'm not surprised because I don't think he has any well thought out ideology. I think he gets things right maybe half the time or so, but it's almost by accident because
even when he gets it right, he reverses himself and panics, runs for the hills almost.
Yeah, that too.
Because I think he got a lot of things right, but then, for example, I'll talk about this war scenario. He was right when he said, let's get rid of a lot of these foreign entanglements, let's reduce foreign aid and foreign spending, let's reduce the amount of global war interaction we're involved in. And he, you know, ran on this idea that he was going to attack the military-industrial complex, and now that he's in, he's surrounding himself with a ton of generals, and he's talking about going to war with North Korea. I mean, he literally said that North Korea may not be around very long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's totally inconsistent with what he ran on. I agree.
You got to be impeached. And Maxine Waters thinks he needs to be impeached.
Sending more troops back to Afghanistan and picking up the effort there.
Now, Maxine Waters thinks that Donald needs to be impeached. What do you think?
no, I don't think that.
Isn't it interesting how the Democrats want to go to impeachment whenever it's not their guy or whatever? They're just instantly on the impeachment idea.
Yeah.
And otherwise, they act like it's just you could never suggest impeachment.
I mean, in terms of violating the the Bible says that they compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And I don't really like to be in a position where you're comparing one evil with another evil. And
amen. I would not impeach Donald, but I would impeach some judges.
I would agree, but what I was going to say is, as far as the extra constitutional powers, when we start impeaching the president, the executive, for stepping beyond the scope of the Constitution, I mean, first of all, you have a long history that you're ignoring, where presidents got by with impunity on that type of thing. especially going back to the days of Roosevelt.
You're not saying it's justifiable, but you are saying it's reality, and you can't expect presidents to hold the line when they've seen for their whole lives that line being violated with impunity.
That's right. Now, so when you get into crimes and misdemeanors, I mean, there's no question Clinton committed crimes. I mean, he perjured himself. He lied under oath.
Hey, Jim, would you stop that? She was pretty, and I didn't know what else I should do.
Hey, you're a pretty good imitator. But yeah, I think that crosses the line. But somebody commits an actual crime, I think it's a different story. And I don't think Trump has crossed that line.
That's right, but many judges have. That's for sure. Sam Kurt, Jim Clymer, theconstitutionparty.com.
Well,
maybe there's no better time than a third party. Let's talk about that. Hold on your radio.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this will work. Guess who's going to have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. But, you know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today. And you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby, Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Well-known attorney at law, constitutionparty.com, Jim Clymer with us. I apologize for the break, sir. You were saying?
I was going to draw a distinction between, you said we should, there's some judges we should impeach. And I'm not sure if that's the proper method or not. The Constitution says that the judges will serve during good behavior. To me, that's an implication that when they're in bad behavior, they can be removed from office. And that's something less than impeachment. And I think we have to start with saying that the impeachment is reserved for high crimes and misdemeanors. And so I think that judges can be removed, and exactly the mechanism that should follow, whether it's simply Congress doing it, but something short of impeachment, I think the bar is lower for removing judges who flout the Constitution, who disregard their oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and rule that directly contrary to the Constitution, make up law, amend the Constitution to suit themselves, basically, or to fit their political agenda. I think there should be a mechanism put in place for removing those. And it can be short of impeachment. I don't think you have to go through the trial and impeachment process to do that because the Constitution says they serve during good behavior. And certainly not adhering to the Constitution is not good behavior. That's bad behavior.
Well, I agree with your point. I was thinking impeachment was the way to deal with removing the judges, but your point's well taken. Kurt, you want to respond to that? I agree. There needs to be a mechanism where maybe we don't need to. The idea might be removal from office just simply says we're not going to let you lord over people if you're going to be an activist judge. We may determine that there's no criminal intent there. There might be just an overzealous idea, etc. We don't need to maybe go as far as impeachment to remove them. I think it's a wise point.
Yeah, I couldn't agree any stronger. I mean, just imagine if we got rid of judges that weren't following the Constitution in America. Wow.
All right. I think that's important to understand. How come there's no mechanism set up for that? How come we haven't stopped these judges, Jim?
Yeah, well, there could be different ways. I mean, I think Congress should be investigating this and doing something about it because they have the ability to withhold funds for their operations. Howard Phillips used to say that if you cut off the funding for some of these rogue judges, they probably wouldn't keep serving too long. So that's one thing that Congress certainly has the power to do. Congress has the power also, of course, as you know, to limit the jurisdiction of the federal judiciary other than the Supreme Court, other than what's mandated in the Constitution. So they could simply say, and they have made some attempts at this, but they could simply say that in the cases of abortion, for example, that's outside the jurisdiction of the federal judiciary. They could say that the whole question of marriage, same-sex marriage or whatever, is outside the jurisdiction of the federal judiciary.
But if we've seen anything in the last several months, you can't count on Congress to get anything done, sir.
No, that's for sure, sadly.
Now they're working on supposedly, they failed on health care. Now they're going to work on tax reform. They're going to work on possibly this DACA thing. They're going to, they supposedly have their plate full, but I don't see them getting much done at all. It's really going to be an absolute failed first term for the Republicans, big time. I don't know that there's ever been a better third-party opportunity.
Well, I think you're right, and I think more people are coming to that realization. And there are, what we need is a groundswell. What we need is a lot of money, Sam. Do you know anybody that can? I mean, unfortunately, to control to get the message out, it seems like it takes a lot of money or somebody with a lot of influence.
You're right about that, and we do our best in the media to make a difference. For example, last hour, right before the end of the hour, Kirk Crosby reported. I reported that Ben Carson went against Donald Trump and backed Roy Moore, as do we back Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Quick thoughts on that?
Well, I thought it was interesting that, of course, Steve Bannon, of course, came out and endorsed Roy Moore also, but of course he's no longer in the administration. But in the case of Ben Carson, he's still an administration figure. And for him to come out and support him, I thought, first of all, I applaud him for his courage, for his principles in doing what's right. I also thought that it was interesting that Trump, even in his endorsement and his speech down there, was somewhat equivocal, and
to say that Donald right now is so ignorant is getting hit by traffic going both directions, isn't he?
Well, but he made the statement that, well, maybe I made a mistake in doing this, and then went on to say that both men are good men, and if Moore wins, he's going to support him. He's going to be campaigning for him with all he's got. Well, he didn't use those words. He used some profanity, but you get the point. But I thought it was sort of a backhanded endorsement, and
I think what happened is Donald listens to his advisors that are closest to him, which are part of the swamp, and they're his enemies. He does something, and then he realizes from some people further out a little bit that, hey, that wasn't a wise move, and then he is frustrated that he got trapped like that. But Donald flat out failed to drain the swamp.
So, indeed he has, and that's because
he should have put Jim Clymer up there as his chief attorney, shouldn't he?
He surrounded himself with too many people who have an interest in maintaining the swamp.
Amen to that. Now, Candy Carson, Ben Carson's wife, spoke at a forum. And Candy Carson says, quote, media won't report the agency's accomplishments because they're controlled by people who want to bring down America, writes Miranda Blue. By the way, that's the lady that's attacked me relentlessly. And what do they call that thing, Kurt? Right Wing Watch?
I think that's right, Sam.
So all I can tell you is that, you know, Candy coming out telling you that, hey, without the media, we don't stand a chance. But I brought up the reality check to Kurt Crosby on this, that, you know, all these insiders attack the media. But yet when you give them a chance to use alternative media, they don't even have time for you. I've tried to get a hold of Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and Donald Trump and Ben Carson and all kinds of these people to help them. But they're just too busy, Jim.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, there's probably some of my clients say the same thing about me, because what do? You, when you get overwhelmed with trying to do a lot of things, and there are some things, and quite honestly, I'm embarrassed sometimes about some things that I don't get done, which are important to me, but other, you know, brush fires are crowded out, and that's part of the reality. Now, they should recognize, of course, who you are and make it a priority. But,
well, and I don't think that I'm so important, but I do think that at some point, if you're going to criticize the mainstream press, if you're going to be a Candy Carson, you're going to say the mainstream press won't cover all the good we're doing. My response is, least you can do is spend some time with those who will report it. And if you don't think Sam Bushman's important enough, pick somebody else. I don't care. But we need the ability to report this stuff, because we could force the mainstream press to be either sidelined and or report it. We don't have enough clout to take over the media yet, but we do have enough clout to control the narrative if given a chance.
I agree. It's there seems to be a disconnect in many cases like that, what they say and what they actually will do.
All right. The United Nations admits that it can't link global warming to the spike in world hunger. But then in the same article, they go on and link the two in Daily Caller. What do you think of that?
Well, you know that the whole movement is full of hypocrites, from Al Gore all the way down.
Could Donald stop this one? He thinks it's a hoax, but do you think he can hold strong? And do you think we can shut down the global warming lies?
I don't think so. I think he's been intimidated already. I mean, he's already backpedaled from some of his statements. They treat him as a fool whenever he says anything like that. And I think it gets to him, and that's one thing he seems not to be able to overcome.
Hey, Donald used to say Barack Obama's birth certificate was fake. Now Joe Arpaio has proved it. I think Joe and the Donald need to go and dig into that now that the Donald has the presidency. He could get that done tomorrow, couldn't he?
He could.
Strangely, nothing's happening.
Yep.
Uh-huh. All right. Looks like T-Mobile and Sprint might merge. You got to feel good about that, Kurt. Reuters with the details. All right, Sam, Kurt, Jim Clymer back in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Under the controversial Graham Cassidy legislation, states such as California would be able to experiment with a single-payer system. The legislation would block grant funds to the states and allow them to create their own solutions to health care. Many people say single-payer is better. That's what many countries have. If you don't have single-payer, then a lot of people can be accessed to health care. That also means the insurance companies can pretty well do what they want. California would have to raise an additional $200 per person per year in taxes. It is said that going on their own could cost California $400 billion. Californians being persuaded to donate money to cover the cost of deferred action for childhood arrivals, the DACA recipients. The renewal fee is $495. Judy London, an immigrant rights attorney, says DACA beneficiaries are often working two or three jobs just to pay for college education. There is not $495 lying around. People who renew under DACA by October 5 will be protected, but only for 2 years. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly Internet News Analysis Service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, WorldAffairsBrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Donald Trump talked about vote fraud, put together a commission to investigate it. Everybody mocked and laughed and jeered, while at the same time they claim there's Russia tampering in the elections. I don't know how they say there's no vote fraud, but Russia's tampering. Nevertheless, the mainstream press carries the ball so well that most folks are deceived on this. However, a new headline just got released that I thought was worthy of discussion. Hundreds of illegal voters found in Philadelphia, Washington Times with the piece. Good old Pennsylvania there, Jim.
Yeah. The Cradle of Liberty is now has been for years embroiled in fraud. I mean, there is so much that could be said about, so much election fraud that could, I'm sure, is going on in the city of Philadelphia. I mean, they just, stuff that defies the imagination. Do you know that there were 90 precincts in the city of Philadelphia in 2008 that had not a, recorded not a single Republican vote? So, when you have, well, let me say this. I'm judge of elections in my precinct, and it's obvious to me that if there were all people of one party and one persuasion, one ideology there, it would be very easy to rig the outcome of the election. I mean, there are safeguards put in place, but when there's nobody to watch, when there's no, when you have the fox watching the chicken coop, there's not much safety and security there, and you know, just common sense tells you that there's something wrong, because even though there's a vast Democratic majority in Philadelphia, there are some Republicans there too.
But, Jim, they had a real good turnout. I mean, some cases they got like 140% of the vote.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where you really get people active on these voting rolls. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Sure. And you probably reported on this before too, but what they discovered in New Hampshire, where they have they permit you to register on the same day you vote. So you can come in and say, oh, I've just moved to this state and I want to register and then I want to vote. They let them register. And they had, I don't have the exact numbers, but it was over 5,000 people who did that on this last election day.
And, wow.
And of those 5,000, and here's where I don't remember the exact numbers, but there were like 4,000 of those in the year since then, almost a year since then, have not changed their driver's license, have not registered in any other
capacity within
the state, which means it makes it highly suspicious that those people came in from liberal Massachusetts next door or some other state, registered, and then went back to their state again. And
so the claim is that Donald got the Electoral College, but Hillary got the popular vote. Donald's saying that isn't true. What do you think the truth is? And do you think we'll ever get to the bottom of it in a meaningful way?
I'm with Donald on that. I mean, I think it's exactly right. I think there's rampant election fraud, and that's why the Democrats don't want to look into it. Now, on one hand, you can say it's beside the point, but the fact is that you look at that, what was it, 3 million majority popular vote in California that Hillary Clinton had, and you can imagine how much fraud there may be there. But and even when they talk about fraud, a lot of times they talk about voting people who are in the rolls or that type of thing. But the fact is, I don't know. I know what it is in Pennsylvania. I think it's everywhere else. On the registration forms, you check a box saying that you're a citizen, but it's never checked up on. So you may have...
Well, and Barack Obama literally referred to illegals as citizen voters.
Yeah, well, in his mind, they were. But you could... I strongly suspect that there were millions of illegals in this country who voted simply because they filled out a... And by all appearances, it's a legitimate vote because they were registered. They were duly registered. But because nobody checked on their registration, when they registered, never checked on the registration whether they were actual citizens or not. They don't have to produce any evidence, any proof that they are in fact citizens.
All right. Do you think they'll ever have pay dirt for accountability on any of that?
I hope so. I mean, that's one thing I like what Trump is doing. I just hope that commission that he established gets something done.
Yeah, it's very strange, though, I'll tell you what. I mean, I appreciate it. I hope that Donald gets something done. Now, one of the issues that I've made really important since Donald got elected and the Republicans took control is this pro-life issue. Seems like nothing's being done on the pro-life front. We talked about getting pro-life judges. We talked about rejecting abortion. We talked about overturning Roe versus Wade. We talked about all kinds of things. And I don't even see the Republicans moving the needle on pro-life.
Well, they're not moving it very far, but let me put a little bit of an optimistic spin on it. At least, and we know that Trump is not an impassioned spokesman for the pro-life movement, but at least he committed to signing a bill that would defund Planned Parenthood, which is something I didn't expect him to do in light of some other things that he said in the past. Of course, he reversed the Mexico or reinstated the Mexico City policy on...
Which we got to give him complete credit for that. It's a start, and at least he did what he could there.
He did a bit. That's right. It didn't go nearly as far as he'd like, but at least he has done some things that he could, and he has reversed some of the things.
Do you think he has the authority just to call a halt to Roe versus Wade and say, listen, I know the courts kind of back this, but the fact is it's unconstitutional, it's pro-death, and we're not doing it?
Well, what do you think? I mean,
well, I think he has the authority, and I'll tell you why. As the chief executor, I can simply say we're not authorizing any funding. We're not going to let the courts decide this. This is a congressional decision. Congress hasn't really decided this. We're not going to let the courts and these activist judges be the strongest form of government. There's no legislative reality that puts this in place, and the House is in charge of the funding. We've been funding it big time by hook and by crook and by deception. And I'm simply, as the chief executive, not going to carry out these pro-death policies. I demand they be halted. I demand Congress go back to the drawing table. If they want to explicitly fund the death of people, we can talk about that when it comes to my desk. I won't sign it, by the way. But until then, I'm calling a halt to this pro-death con game.
Well, okay. I mean,
but I'm not an attorney. I'm just Joe Blow.
Do
right?
That. Maybe I'm too much of a realist, but I don't think it would work. When you know, when Nixon, go all the way back to Nixon, when Nixon tried to withhold funds from were authorized by Congress for certain programs, for the war on poverty, for example, and of course the courts ruled against him, said he couldn't do that. That was the Congress allocated the funds for a particular thing that he had, and it was duly passed that he had to. He couldn't impound the funds that were for designated project. So I suspect the same thing would happen here. And whether he could then defy the courts in some way or not, you know, could get into a constitutional crisis. There are things that he could do. He could direct the United States attorneys, for example, which he indirectly has control over through the Justice Department. He could direct that they don't engage in any litigation that would be contrary to the pro-life movement. There are things like that he could do legitimately. I guess I have some concern about a president, even when he's on my side, even when he's doing the things that I want to see done, I have a problem with him.
I have a problem with him stepping out of his authority, his responsibility of authority. I get that, and I agree we need to be very careful there. However, does he have to sit back as the chief executor in a situation where we're promoting pro-death with taxpayer funding? And it's been so for literally 50 years and or whatever, and we've got this situation where, you know, 60,000 of the most innocent among us are murdered. At some point, you got to say, well, is there a way that he doesn't have to go along with that?
I think there are ways that he could avoid going along with it. I think there are things that he could do. And if I believe that he were really committed to the pro-life cause, I think he would be looking for every now avenue he could to do that. And, you know, certainly George Bush didn't do it. Even Reagan didn't do everything that he could have. But yes, I'm sure he could.
If there's one issue that I think is most important to deal with, that is it, my friend. Let's talk about that when we get back. I think the pro-life issue is the most important issue we could possibly be dealing with. Liberty Roundtable Live, Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
While the Republicans have more control than they've ever had, I submit that they do not waste their political capital. They've wasted it on so many different things, even Obamacare. A lot of these things are important, but they pale in comparison. Tax reform, vote fraud, none of these things, in my opinion, matter compared to the pro-life issue. If there's two issues that I think need to be dealt with, it's pro-life and honest money. Are the two most important issues we could possibly be dealing with in America. And I submit that we need to shut down Planned Parenthood. We need to shut down the pro-death agenda. If we want God's blessings, we're going to have to start with respecting the most innocent among us. That's the whole purpose of government. Otherwise, what good is a government if it doesn't protect the most innocent among us? I think pro-life is one of the most critical issues, and they're doing nothing while they have control of everything. They have control of the courts. They have control of the White House. They have control of the House. They have control of the Senate. They have the control of more governorships than any time in history. They've got more control of more state legislatures. They've got control of the courts. They've got control of the labor board. They've got control of literally everything. And I don't see them moving the needle for pro-life at all. Do you think there's a more critical issue than that pro-life issue, Jim?
No, I agree. There's nothing more critical than that. That is the paramount issue. And that's one of the litmus tests in the Constitution Party, by the way. We may have some disagreement on some other issues, but when the Constitution Party, if somebody is not 100% pro-life, they're out of step with the party. And that's a litmus test for any of our candidates.
For good reason, by the way.
Absolutely. I mean, we make no apologies for that. That's because if the first and most fundamental responsibility of government, in my view, is to protect the lives of the innocent and the defenseless, and you know that certainly speaks to the pro-life issue. So. That is first one. There are other very important issues. I mean, the Second Amendment, the whole Bill of Rights, for that matter, the sound money, all those things are very important issues. But we may have various disagreements among ourselves as to the certain issues, certain parts of some of those things. But there's one issue that is not debatable, in my opinion, one position, that is the pro-life position.
People are working on it, but the mainstream press won't tell you about it, but I don't see any big leaders focusing on it. Rand Paul is focusing on it some. Students for Life of America, they are launching a national tour to bring the abuse of abortion, the horrors of abortion, to the nation. The tour will go to, quote, six major cities, in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, West Virginia, and Kentucky. They're going to be going to college campuses and speaking out. They spoke at the National Press Club, and they criticized the Republican-led Congress for not keeping their promise and defunding Planned Parenthood. Nothing has been done. It's almost been a year since the election. The pro-life generation is sick of being told to wait until another election cycle. We expect Congress to uphold their promises and shut down Planned Parenthood, who, by the way, committed 328 abortions in 2016 alone. Planned Parenthood's profit increased in 2016 as well. This is serious, Jim, and nobody's even telling you about it.
And first of all, let me put in a plug for Students for Life. It's a great organization. I support them. They're doing a tremendous job. Kristen Hawkins, who heads that, is just a wonderful person and fully committed to the cause.
And by the way, Kristen was one of the ones that spoke at the National Press Club. There's no coverage for this, though. Most people don't even know that it even happened.
That's right. That's right. Now, I will also say that it is just appalling to me that Congress, and any state for that matter, continues to fund Planned Parenthood. I mean, that's just, well, years ago, of course, back when, oh, forget his name now, but the Hyde Amendment, Henry Hyde was, when the Hyde Amendment was passed to supposedly prohibiting government funds from supporting abortion, and yet they do it by the millions with Planned Parenthood. And it's just appalling to me. I mean, I think every representative in Congress, every senator, and take that down to the state, should be primaried or challenged in a general election by a third party, by a Constitution Party or something. Everyone should be challenged who in any way supports funding of Planned Parenthood. It's just appalling. It's atrocious. It's that's directly supporting, providing funds for abortion.
If we agree this is one of the most important issues, how do we move the needle and gain traction on this? Those pro-life folks are doing the best they can. I'm one of them. I support them in every way possible. We're going to be having them on the radio coming up to help the best we can. But I don't really see any traction being gained. I don't see any real cohesive efforts to push this or to force the envelope, whatever you want to call it, or to defund. I don't really see any real organized effort here. Do you?
Oh, I think there's some people that are doing some
They're doing great work. Effort. I'm just saying there's not near enough. People don't even know about it. The good people that might believe in it don't even hear about it. We've
can
got
I
to
say,
get put together a mechanism where they can and where they can get involved in things.
Can I say that I think the problem lies with the churches, with the people themselves? And probably there are enough of Christians in this country who, if they really believe that, would make it a central part of their voting practices. I mean, I would not vote for anybody who's not pro-life. And if that would be if every Christian would be committed to that and say, you know, you may excuse certain things in other areas, but that's one thing I would not excuse. There would be enough of votes so that they would not look at my own senator here in Pennsylvania, Senator Bob Casey, who claims to be pro-life, and yet he votes with the Democrats every chance he gets, just lockstep with the party leadership, including any votes in favor and supporting funding for Planned Parenthood. I mean, how can you be pro-life? How can you claim to be pro-life when you vote to fund the biggest abortion provider, fund with our tax dollars, the biggest abortion provider in this country?
Has there been a single defund Obamacare, a single page simple solution bill that's been put up to vote? I don't think so.
Well, this Graham Cassidy, that's one thing it did do. It did fund defund Planned Parenthood. And of course, that's one of the...
Yeah, but it wasn't a straight up and down vote. That's what we need to get. We need to put these people on records with a straight up and down vote, and then we need to basically push towards replacing those who won't stand for pro-life.
Yeah, yeah.
We need a single issue bill to where it's clear you voted against this when you had the chance to stand against pro-death. What is up with you? And we need to paint them as pro-death candidates, because that's what they are.
Yep.
Or pro-death legislators. Kurt, do you want to add to this? We've got to, I don't know how to move the needle on this, but I can't think of a more important issue. I really can't.
There's well, on issues. this whole issue of the voting, this is how we've had trouble so long in Washington with so many bills that have all these mixed things in them. And we've talked about it for years with our buddies Downsize DC and others, you know, basically the one subject at a time bill, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what we need. But that's why they do all this, swamp work back in Washington, D.C. is, man, the swamp monsters are in control.
And I don't think there's any prayer of solving that unless enough Americans go third party to truly get it done. But you can't even get on the ballot hardly, Jim.
We're making some progress on that, thankfully. We're getting some court decisions, and we've got a long ways to go, for sure, but there have been some significant victories over the last couple of years, including here in Pennsylvania, where we're finally bed down to where we can make a reasonable attempt to get on the ballot, or we get on the ballot without we're not on the same level as the Republicans and Democrats, but we're at least the bar has been lowered to the extent where we can get on.
And at least there's a choice, right?
That's right.
That's a start.
We need good candidates.
We got to keep working on it. We got to just take a little bit at a time. We can't fix the world by 3 o'clock, but we can do our part, and that's all we're really responsible for. A final minute or two left is yours, Jim. We brought up a lot of topics today. Any topics you want to highlight?
I'm a slow thinker. I wish I had could have thought about that a little bit before. But boy, there's so many things going on. Of course, I don't know what you talked about in the earlier hour, but I think it's interesting to see Hillary out there regurgitating the campaign and blaming the what was her latest one? Yesterday, she came out and said that women who supported Trump, or basically women who didn't support her because she was a woman. I mean, this is what gets me.
Yeah, she says that they basically betrayed themselves, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, publicly betrayed themselves, or something like that. She said, which see, on the one hand,
I think women that don't vote pro-life betray themselves.
Yeah, indeed, you could say that for a lot of people, but. I mean, you could say that for our African Americans, since the highest number of abortions occur among them, they're hurting.
Well, and Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a well-known racist and targeted the blacks intentionally. Where's the mainstream press to cover the reality check on history, huh?
Exactly.
All right, Jim, my friend, thank you so much. ConstitutionParty.com. Keep up your good work.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There he goes. Jim Clymer doing a great job as always. He's Kurt. I'm Sam. You're you. Thank heavens we're all us. Just like Michael Reagan, you say, I'm here, you're there. We need to make a difference everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? We can't do it all ourselves. We can work together, though. And our greater numbers, through the power of one, shall be successful. Get involved. Donate. LibertyRoundtable.com. Tell all your friends. Do everything you can. We'd be grateful for your support in every way possible. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? This nation shall endure.